Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Heart of the Psalmist. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted, and this is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. It's so good to be back. I definitely enjoyed the holiday break, ate a lot of food, spent some good time with family and friends, but we're back now for season two, and I might as well say Happy New Year. I know it's already February, but Happy New Year, and also Happy New Decade. Grateful that God has graced us to enter a new season, a new time, so that we can have another opportunity to use our creative gifts to glorify His name. And just one housekeeping note, season two will go through the month of June, and I'm going to give you two episodes a month. We'll drop something the first weekend of the month and then the third weekend. A little late this month, I had some unforeseen family emergency I had to tend to, but God was faithful and saw us through that. But on the normal, you will get your episodes the first weekend and then the third weekend. And I think if I'm counting correctly, that will give us about 10 shows for season two. All right, with that said, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And I've titled this Creative Cracks. Now, this year has started out great for me in many areas of my life, and especially at the local fellowship where I serve as one of the elders and I oversee our worship. And God has been doing some incredible things. He's moving in new ways. Our rehearsals and services have been amazing. Definitely something different brewing in the spirit. Things are shifting, and God is calling us to follow His rhythm so that the masterpiece He has scored for this season can be experienced. Now, something interesting happened to me as I left our first service in 2020. The Holy Spirit brought to my mind the words of the Apostle Peter that are found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. It says this, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." Again, that's 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9. So Peter is reminding us that anytime we try to follow God's rhythm, Satan in the kingdom of darkness seeks to hinder us. When he appears in Scripture, this is always his activity. This is always what he's doing. For example, he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He sought to destroy Job's faith in God. He incited David to take a census rather than trusting God. That particular story is found in 1 Chronicles 21:1 and also 2 Samuel chapter 24. As we know, he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Even Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, that Satan hindered him from coming to visit the saints at Thessalonica. So he's always seeking to hinder us when we try to sync ourselves with God's rhythm. And if he did that to those who lived in biblical days, guess what? He's doing that and trying to hinder us now. He's looking for an opportunity, a place, an entry point to plant a demonic agenda and through deception cause it to spread like a dark spiritual cancer. Listen to what the Bible says, for example, in Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And verse 27 is the key. "And do not give the devil an opportunity." Now, that word opportunity in the Greek is the noun topos, meaning a place or an occasion. It's a favorable time or set of circumstances for doing something. So Luke, for example, tells us that after Satan finished tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he left him until an opportune time. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 13. That opportune time came when Judas's lust for money converged with the chief official's desire to do away with Jesus. Let's read Luke 22:1-6. And it reads this, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people." Verse 3 says this, and it's key, "And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the crowd." So notice in this text, the enemy was searching for an opportunity after he finished tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and he found one with Judas. And we have to be mindful of entry points as well, things that Satan will use to get on the inside and launch an assault. For Judas, it was greed, a deep lust for money and material gain. Notice his response to Mary anointing Jesus with costly perfume. This is found in John chapter 12, verse 4-6. "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. He used to pilfer what was put into it." So what Satan found with Judas was an entry point through his greed. For Cain, it was anger and jealousy. And the scriptures warn us that unresolved anger is very destructive. Proverbs 14:17, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools." And one example from the New Testament, James 1:19-20, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." So for Judas, greed was the entry point for the enemy. For Cain, it was anger. And that anger became an entry point. Satan tends to start small, something subtle and concealed. An example could be someone says something you didn't like that offended you, but rather than talking to them and pursuing reconciliation, you go talk to five other people. Start small, but it begins to spread. And he'll use it to cause division, confusion, and discord. He'll get you so focused on your emotions that you can't even see how he's using you to gain entry into what God is trying to accomplish. So with that as a backdrop, I want to bring this down to my audience, these creative people who use their creative gifts to serve the local church and on other platforms God has given you. And I want to talk about three creative cracks that over the 30 years I have served in worship and creative arts ministry in various positions, I've just seen the enemy find entry points and cause division, strife, and in many ways hinder and obstruct what God wants to accomplish through creativity. So here's the first creative crack. We perceive correction and constructive criticism as a personal attack. Now, let's face it. Let's just be honest. Correction and constructive criticism never feel good. Sure, how it's delivered helps, but it never feels good to be told you did something wrong. Let's just be honest about that. Now, it's an even harder pill to swallow when it's related to your creative work. And that's because what we create is deeply personal. So it's hard to hear that something you poured your creative passion into falls short. I've been there more than once, and I'm telling you, it doesn't feel good. And that feeling is where a creative crack can form if we're not careful. And that's because the first impulse is often defensiveness. What we create is an extension of who we are. Thus, constructive criticism can feel like a personal attack. It feels like you are being rejected. So we say things like this: "This is who I am. Accept me as I am. This is how God made me." And though it sounds justified, it is a breeding ground for division and egotism, and it can hinder growth. So here's my advice for this first creative crack: how to keep the enemy out. It feeling personal doesn't mean it is personal. That's worth saying again. It feeling personal doesn't mean that it is personal. Maybe it feels personal because you're interpreting things through your emotions. The correction may actually be right. Even the most gifted and experienced creative can improve. So if you want to keep this first crack closed, you got to be humble and remain receptive to critical feedback, regardless of how it makes you feel. All right, so let's move on to the second one. This one is big. Talent is all that matters. Being talented is all that matters. And I have seen this one play out more times than I can count. I think this is probably the biggest one in terms of my experience in creative arts ministry. An incredibly talented musician grabs the attention of a church or a pastor. And then two questions typically follow. Do you play anywhere currently? Second question, if we pay you X amount of dollars, will you play for us? And then before you can blink, the musician is serving at that church playing. And now, I don't have a problem with musicians being paid. That's fine. Having talent to do things is also very important. But far too often, a church's relationship with their musician stops there. All that matters is their talent. And this is a colossal creative crack Satan loves, because it creates a hireling culture. Wages and work are all that matters, not the spiritual well-being of the creative. When you treat musicians as nothing more than a hired hand, you make them easy targets for the enemy. So how do we keep this creative crack closed? We care about the entire musician, not just their talent, but what about their spiritual status? Are they saved? Are they growing in Christ? Is their marriage healthy and whole? Do their children have what they need? If you want to keep this creative crack closed, care about and shepherd the entire person. All right, we're already at number three. Here is the third creative crack that I've seen the enemy creep in through and cause havoc in creative arts ministry. It's when creative expression becomes more important than scriptural accuracy. Creative expression becomes more important than scriptural accuracy. According to the scriptures, our primary source of spiritual nourishment is the Bible. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And of course, you all know that Jesus Christ quoted that when he was being tempted by the enemy. Also, 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." So you see here in the scriptures, the word of God is likened to food. It is our primary source of spiritual nourishment. And the only other ministry in a local church that speaks to a congregation more than singers and musicians are those who teach and preach. That means that we have to do more than be creative. We have to also be scriptural. Otherwise, what we do is like spoiled milk in a decorated carton. Looks good, but has no nutritional value. It's okay to be creative. That's wonderful. Just make sure that your message is biblical. Be a student of your craft and also a student of Scripture. Amen. Well, that's all we have today for the first episode in season two. We're going to have some good interviews this season that I think you will enjoy. So until then, keep these creative cracks closed. Keep serving God with all of your heart, and we will talk to you soon. Take care. God bless.